Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Giving the internet away. Can you imagine that? First, you want to get you totally invested in it, get your company on it, get your banking on it, get your telecommunications on it, all the VoIP phones and the iPhones and the Android phones, all that's internet type, you know, streaming. Get your everything, the government's on it,
the medical's on it,
the grid, the power grid's on it. Well, John, it says this is FIS.org is reporting, reporting that this is the year they're going to give it away.
Wow.
They're going to give it away.
Doesn't surprise me. Kind of par for the course, but it really is shocking when you think about it, because now the entire world is on the internet.
Do you remember Y2K? Everybody was worried. Everything. Oh, yeah. They're stacking beans up because of the condition of the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And computers.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about just giving it away. That's one thing this leadership, present leadership, has proved. You can do anything.
Yes.
Anything.
Yes.
And it says right here, as a matter of fact, this is, of course, FIS.org, and they're talking about it in a January 14 article that, the, of course, the U.S. government's, you know.
As a governance.
It wasn't Al Gore that invented the internets.
Don't tell him.
Yeah, right?
Don't tell him.
It wasn't that. But by the way, I just hear, speaking of former Vice President Al Gore, that the Al Jazeera America, which
TV
he actually sold his network to so that Islam could have a television network in America. Our vice president did that.
Yes.
That reports are that they're closing down.
Yes.
They're coming.
Yes, they are.
The Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
It's good.
Very imagine good. It just didn't get the traction they were hoping is what was reported. They didn't get the traction they were hoping.
We think there was enough people watching it in the White House. Right. So anyway, so here we are with the U.S. government then is over right now. But in 2014, the reports are that they had made the plans to be able to turn it over this year. Let's just wrap it up. Let's just give it all away. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And it goes on to say, it says, a plan to the end of key U.S. governmental oversight role for the internet is on track for to completely be turned over in this year. And they're talking about September 30th, which we talked about, United Nations, when the president signed that paperwork. They're talking about this global ID that has to be in by 2030. We talked about Sesame.
Out of China.
Sesame, what's it called? Sesame Credit?
It's Sesame. I don't know if it's credit, but it's Sesame.
It's a program where you got to rate your fellow citizen, how good they are as a citizen. Well, that's going to be mandatory in 2000.
Which is their own, basically, version of Facebook. It's a social media concept that uses peer pressure to cause everyone to line up with government ideas.
And you get rated as a citizen on this. This is the internet. I mean, these are things that are happening on the internet. Right now, it's optional in China. But in 5 years, in 2020, it's going to be mandatory. That's 1.3 billion folks.
Wow.
And India just walks right in. It's amazing what's happening with India, how they're walking. And, you know, we talked about imprinting India and what's taking place and there. And it's like they're just giving over retina scans and fingerprints and all these different things to control another billion plus people there. I mean, this is huge. This is really huge. And it's going to be in control by the internet. Is that, that means when we're giving that away, we no longer have the constant. When America gives something away, we're giving away the constitutional rule over that thing. You know, like the right to privacy and, you know, search and seizure and the freedom of speech that you can just say, you know, what you want to say and your religious freedoms. When you give that away, of course, they're giving it away. They said that they told this particular transition, they were preparing since 2014 to deliver this thing over in September 30th of this year. If the U.S. government approves this plan, it says, then the contract between ICANN, and that's the particular one, that gives you your URL or your web address. You know, if you want to say, you know, smithspaintingshop.com, you have to buy that. You buy it from a nonprofit called ICANN, I-C-A-N-N. And that was a nonprofit, but it was actually under the government. They're basically talking, it looks like, just turning it over a board of directors with ICANN.
And they've been working on this for a while, but it's finally getting ready to happen, which is, who'd have thought that was actually going to materialize?
Well, so they're saying, you know, who runs the internet? Well, right now, the oversight is the government. But in September 30th, it could be this small board of, I think, 18 particular members.
And they're trying to minimize the, you know, the actual governance and how much it actually took place and how much the United States was responsible for in terms of accountability, integrity of it. But we don't know.
The government, prior to this administration, when the government was over something, that means you as the people, it's we the people, are over it. We would determine which way it goes. Well, by giving it to a board of directors, you just got to control the board. And then the board goes direction or that direction. And you have, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the founder of Facebook, trying to give free internet away to India. Yeah. He's trying to get China to name his baby. He wants part of that market. And it's like, this is the, look what we're talking about giving away. Mm. And it's like, this is a year. And this is an amazing year. We get back from this break. I want you to know that it's about tracking and controlling. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 13. It's all about the economy. It's about tracking folks. And it talks about you can't buy or sell without having this ability to track someone or be able to take some identifying number that allows you to operate in this particular economy. And we're going to talk about that. It looks like it's like hitting hard, really hard, coming really fast. So think about this. You know, we're talking about the internet being given away.
Mm-hmm.
This great... everything's being, you know, there's stability is like a thing of the past right now. I mean, everything you could think of has been shaken or divided. Mm. And now we're giving away a system that could be used to track, control everything to away from under the constitutional guidelines. The government is not who's in Washington, D.C. The government is you in America. It's we the people in order to form a more perfect union. We establish government, you know, they work for us. And so
that has been so raw from the American people. Yeah, I mean, we have to consistently remind American citizens over and over again their true identity in this role.
And that's just it. You know, God's going to hold us accountable for this. All we had to do was read the Constitution. And so when they're talking about giving it away from the government, they're saying they're giving it away from you. You'll no longer have oversight over it. I mean, think about that. The Constitution is what is allowing this prosperity and this protection of intellectual property and people from just tracking everything that they can without, you know, some sort of restraint on this thing. And now they're talking about giving it away. I mean, take a look at that. I want you to see this. What is privacy like right now before Great Britain is no longer giving oversight, before American government is no longer giving oversight? What's going to happen to this thing? Mm. Well, just take a look what privacy is right here. It's going to blow you away. Take a look.
So, what is privacy? Yeah, the answer to that question is pretty abstract, involving the rights of man and ancient philosophical thought, and frankly too much introspection for a short animated web video. So no, let's ask another. Take a look at your phone. How much information about you is stored on it, and how safe do you think that information is? Do you shop online, exchange messages on social media, Google search, and perform general life simplifying tasks? Of course you do. It's almost impossible to participate in modern life without doing at least some of that stuff. And you probably lock your phone and keep it safe, because hey, you'd hate for all that information about you to be in anyone else's hands. Well, let's say it already is, because Google and Facebook and the store you shop at and the location app you turned on yesterday are all happy to collect and mine your information. And this isn't just your phone. This is your whole life. A pretty comprehensive picture of you is being built, which includes your history and future as well. And to be really clear, this isn't just the information you give them knowingly. In fact, you have very little knowledge or control over what information is being emitted. But we've got more. Thanks to new laws, new technologies, and certain whistles that have been blown, what we now know is that governments are not just watching terrorists. They're watching all of us. Your phone calls, your internet surfing, your emails, your social networking habits, your locations, even the fact that you're watching this video right now. All of it. Now, people don't always react as strongly as we do to all of this. We hear a lot of, they can spy all they like, I've got nothing to hide, and stop being so paranoid. And the question about how much all this will ever really affect you negatively is kind of why we made this series of animations in the first place. So for now, let's go back to the privacy thing. Privacy, and your human right to it, is the barrier that protects you from people doing things to you. It lets you manage boundaries, so you can open up to those you trust and shut out those you don't. It lets you maintain control. This is your right. But in the last three decades, very powerful institutions have tried to tamper with it. It's the individual's right to privacy versus the might and money of governments and corporations. Only the fight is in secret, and you don't even know you're taking part. They want to monitor you and make decisions about you, and they also push hard against laws that protect you. They do all this without public debate nor consent, and no one is overseeing them. I mean, this is where you're jumping off the ambivalent boat, right? Because privacy is about power. The more we have, the more power we have over our lives. And not to be overly dramatic, but throughout history, no system of mass surveillance has ever existed that has not ended up being abused. We have literally no idea where all this will end up. But the convenient solution we accept today will be the mandate of tomorrow. That's just how this works. Monitoring us, branding us, categorizing us, and profiting from us. Privacy can stop all this from happening. We can stop this from happening. Find out more at privacyinternational.org.
So you think about this. This is all happening now while it's under a government. But they're talking about corporate boards. Well, if you're turning the entire internet over to some corporate board of 18 board members or however, how many it is. I mean, look what how many Supreme Court justices do we have?
Nine.
Nine board members on the Supreme Court justice in America. Look what they did. Look what they did to our country. Absolutely. Can you imagine what they're going to do to the internet?
Yeah.
Because this is what she said was very powerful. She said, you know, privacy is power. Once people can be all in your stuff and totally aware of all that, then you give away privacy, you give away power. Mm-hmm. So what's really going on? Revelation 13 is going on. You're looking at power being given over to some sort of economic system. I mean, what does Revelation 13 say, John?
Revelation 13, verse 16 says, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666.
So you're looking at it, it's an economic system. You're looking at, you know, to buy and sell and trade. This is all about corporate. Facebook is not about social things. Facebook is about making money. Mark Zuckerberg is a very rich, you know, young man.
Yeah.
You know, all these people are making money on this thing. Well, you give that away from the government. The government, you are the government. You no longer have control. And all of a sudden you got like a Mark Zuckerberg and his board that are determining where all your privacy goes, hence where all your power goes. And there's so much surveillance right now. Can you imagine the surveillance when the United Nations ends up surveilling, you know, us, which, by the way, in the United Nations has a majority Muslim Islamic voting bloc.
Mm. Muslim communist voting bloc.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're looking at what's that going to do to you and your company and your privacy? Take a look at this. This is what's happening right now with communication surveillance as it's taking place. Imagine now if it's under the United Nations or someone other than the government.
As fast as mankind's methods of communications have evolved, so too have surveillance technologies designed at breaching privacy. Today, they are terrifyingly sophisticated and capable of grabbing more information than ever before. But over the past 20 years, since eradicating the threat of terrorism has become the state's ultimate dictum, governments have granted themselves more and more access to our communications. Intelligence agencies don't need to actually think we're doing anything suspicious anymore. They have in fact declared it their mission to collect it all and master the internet. These are direct quotes. They're subject to very limited legal codes and using these crazy science fiction-like technologies that make tracking everyone and everything a terrifying reality. That's right, every phone call, every email, every site you visit, place you go to and text you send. Sometimes governments are forcing companies to turn your data over to them. Other times, they just say screw it and tap networks directly, giving them unlimited and unchecked access to everything we say. Now, because no one likes an ignoramus spouting conspiracy theory about Big Brother watching us, we're going to take you on a whistle-stop tour of the three main ways your communications are being spied on. The first is network monitoring. From tapping a line to tapping a country, network monitoring consists of inserting or modifying physical infrastructure to perform surveillance. This includes over the phone and over the internet. In terms of volume, technology sold on the open market is capable of capturing 12 million emails a day. But throw some serious cash into it and you can buy similar technology that will allow an entire country's mobile and fixed line network to be tapped, all at the same time. Second is tactical monitoring. Every bit as powerful as mass monitoring of networks, tactical monitoring is more discreet. It compromises both the networks and the devices. Mobile phone surveillance equipment called IMSI catchers essentially pretend to be powerful base stations and force every single phone in a given area to connect to it, all the while capturing personal identifying data from your phone. These are a big hit with law enforcement globally because they help track suspects, but they don't discriminate. So next time you're at a protest or in a government building, just bear in mind that you're being caught in the dragnet too. Another type of tactical monitoring is spyware, which is a kind of malicious software sent to a target's phone or computer that infects it without you even knowing and gives the operator total control over the device. It monitors everything that appears on the screen, tracks keyboard entry, and monitors all communications, including historic conversations like email or chat. Oh, and not to mention that it can also make recordings of live audio and video from the device, so it essentially becomes a spy itself, allowing for real-time, historical, digital, and real-world surveillance. And finally, we have centralized monitoring, which collates, processes, and retains all data collected through surveillance. Not only is the data retained, but operators can perform extensive profiling and analysis and learn more about you than you might even tell your closest friend. Shivers up your spine? Us too. If all our moves are being watched by government, then are we all suspects? Suspects of what? Let us be really clear. It's not just the NSA or Western intelligence agencies that are doing this. There is a huge industry where companies sell all these surveillance technologies to any interested government, regardless of their human rights record or intentions. The threat of pervasive surveillance isn't a theoretical one. It's merely a question of budget. Considering going dark? Don't. We're working to expose the secretive world of government surveillance and the technologies that enable human rights abuse. Learn more about our global advocacy, research and monitoring projects and about communication surveillance at privacyinternational.org.
So think about this. That is why right now it's under, you know, Great Britain's government. It's under the American government, which is you, the constitutional protection over this information, this data. And they're still violating continually constitutional rights of American citizens. They just call it gathering metadata. They're talking, you know, gathering, you know, what is metadata? And they're just tracking and building all this information. You know, whether you buy the service or not, they're tracking you. When you buy it, they just let you in on the information.
Right.
They let you in on the information. Mm-hmm. So somebody says, well, I'm not going to get that on my phone. It's like, they're just turning it on and selling it to you. And it's like, they're tracking you already. Everywhere your phone goes. By the way, they have a little dot that follows you all the way around. Even if you're in your house, it knows which part of the house you're in. If you go to work with it, if you meet with somebody quite often that has a phone, they see your dots. They're being tracked on the map, connecting. They're tracking all that. Think about this. So many parents have no idea what's going on in their families, their kids' life, or even in each other's lives. But guess who does know? If every one of them has a mobile device and a computer, they're tracking everything. They know more about your family than you know about your family. And some, you know, particular teenager may think, oh, you know, I'm doing this thing in secret or whatever. They're gathering all that data
on you.
They know what's going on. They know everything that's happening. They know that, you know, if your parents are, you know, this is how they are with their social life and internet and that type of thing. But you're doing something else. They know that they have it right there in front of their faces in their databases that this is like, oh, this is somebody not listening to their parents because this is what they're doing. This is what their parents do. They can track all that. Now imagine that just being on a 7 billion person scale with Sesame credit like in China.
Wow.
You have, you know, Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook trying to get into, you know, India and give away free internet. And we're giving up the internet. I mean, this is under constant right now. They're debating, you know, the debate is after this particular, what's the young guy's name that took off with the information?
Edward Snowden,
about he was saying, listen, they're spying on you. And he was saying he didn't think it was right. But this is happening right now while we have it under
Constitution.
Because when it's under the government, it's under the constitutional protection, and then we can challenge things. But when you give it to a board of directors, you can't challenge it anymore.
No.
You can just say, I'm not going to do business with it anymore. And so this is what they're saying. They're saying, well, this is what we're doing right now while it's under the government. We're just going to track your metadata. Hmm. Every device has a metadata. Every single piece of device has a metadata, but we don't, people don't even know what that really is. They're just like, ah, they're not tracking my name or my messages or what's going on. They're just tracking the metadata. Metadata can tell a lot about you. And if you just happen to be hanging around the wrong crowd or in a shopping center when something's going down or people are gathering for something and you just happen to be in that area, guess what? That's part of the, as a matter of, take a look at this. This explains metadata really, really well. And now imagine this thing being out from under the government's control, out from under the Constitution, and being given to 18 board of directors who potentially can end up under the United Nations. Oh, my goodness. Take a look.
We all know about data, right? Well, we want to take you to a whole new data place. We're going meta. Metadata is data about data. It is generated by virtually every way you communicate in 21st century life. Here are two people communicating today. Let's say we know nothing about what they're saying. We can still learn a lot about them from other information we can glean. Metadata is this intelligence. So this means things like locations, times, durations, and data about the device you used. But it also includes the same information about everyone who you're communicating with, when, where, and for how long. Web browsing constantly generates metadata too. And of course, you probably declare some of this stuff yourself on social networking services. But loads more than you know about is being collected by these companies, including information about your devices, where you log in from, what time you're checking your feed, who you're looking at, and what it is you're searching for. The creation and disclosure of metadata even continues when we sleep, because our devices are continuously communicating with cell towers and other networks about what we're doing and not doing. You actually don't have to do anything to produce metadata, which is a bit nuts. When it's all put together, metadata says a lot about you. So obviously, it's the data controller's golden egg. It's highly valuable for advertising purposes, because by generating these vast profiles of an individual's private life and interactions, companies will compete to target us with marketing and advertising. We know this. We see evidence of it in the right-hand ad panel of most sites we ever visit these days. But it's not just industry that is so hungry for metadata. Not very long ago, if governments and police wanted to know things about you, like where you'd been and who you're friends with, what newspapers you read, they would have to question you or get a warrant to pursue their investigations. But not anymore. Metadata tells them instantly. And since, as we've seen, it doesn't contain the content of your communications, metadata isn't given the same legal protections, despite revealing just as much, if not more, as the content of our exchanges themselves. You might have actually already heard of metadata, because just metadata is something governments talk about a lot.
It's just plain old metadata. That's all we're gathering. Not spying on the content of your emails or phone calls. No siree, just plain old metadata. Nothing to worry about. Carry on with what you're doing.
Since metadata reveals relationships, access requests for this information are often very broad, and governments require that companies collect and store this data for years. So think about this. Who is everyone you spoke to in the past year? Who did they speak to? And who did those people speak to? Are you absolutely sure that not one of all those people could be suspected of a crime or be of any interest to your or any other government? Because if they are, then that makes you part of the network. Surveillance of this kind automatically places you within the net without any wrongdoing on your part. What has happened to your rights here? Conclusions based on assimilated metadata are often entirely circumstantial. So on top of everything else, this is leaving us in serious ethical muddy water. All because you knew someone who knew someone who knew someone of interest. Or all because you were somewhere where someone of interest was. But it's only metadata, right? It only paints a very accurate picture of you based on a compilation of your locations, contacts, interests, reading habits, searches, friends, family, professional and personal life and history over extended periods of time. What's the big deal? On the other hand, if you'd like to see it get the legal protection it deserves, Privacy International are fighting to end indiscriminate metadata collection and retention. Learn more and join us at privacyinternational.org.
Think about this. When you move things to corporate world, notice how corporations are able to, they're outside of they can collect all of our information, our power bills, our electric bill, our water bill, our utilities, all these kind of things. And then all of a sudden, our phone bills and messages and stuff. And then the government goes to them and collects that information. And for some reason, there is no obligation for them to keep it or protect it under the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine the government not being involved at all. The whole thing's based on, you know, how they can make money off what they know about you. And they're just grinding out all that data to find out, you know, all of a sudden you're walking down the street. Like John and I were talking on the break, and the whole thing is how they know how much money you got because they know your banking information.
Yeah.
You know, they already know you how you purchase things. They know, you know, where you're at the particular time you're there. And they want to move money out of your pocket into the corporate world to be able to pay your neighbor who has a 401k that owns the bottom of the company.
Even right now, there are apps that are available that recognize when your phone shows up at, let's say, at a Starbucks and you're a frequent customer of Starbucks, instantly Starbucks can send you a text to let you know of a specialized offer they want to give you because they know that you're on the block or you're in the vicinity to come on in and purchase with
special
them.
Offer.
That's happening now.
$10 cup of coffee, discount, $9. Anyway, so think about this. I mean, here we are at this point. Yeah. We're at this point where we've already bought into it. You know, remember Y2K? That was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all into this thing now. I mean, television, communications, banking, finance, school, everything is all on this internet. And they're saying, now you're on this boat. We're going to give this boat away.
Mm.
And I can't think about anything other than the fact this is we're shifting in, just like Johnny Foote gave a prophetic word, you know, that is going to be shifting into the beast economy. It's coming. We'll make that word available to you on the VFN Torch, but it looks that's exactly what's happening. This economy is being set up, and it says whether you're rich or poor, you know, no matter what person you are, everybody that wants to do business in this particular economy is going to have to actually get this particular identification number.
Yeah.
And if you have that number, then you can do. You can buy and sell. If not, you can't. But you know, when judgment comes, the bowls are poured out and wrath. He says the first people that's dealt with are people that took the mark of the beast.
Mm.
I mean, it takes wisdom to know what to do and what not to do. And sometimes you got to suffer because you can't do what people who don't care what they do because the consequences are going to be the same as their consequences. Mm-hmm. Right? Read that one more time.
What Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18. It is also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the number and the name of the beast, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The number is 666.
Yeah, God gave me this prophetic vision, this night vision, where you know, I saw all this data being gathered. I saw all this data on everyone being gathered. And the Lord showed me that this is the marker. This is that mark. This is that for the whole purpose. You know, Hitler took a tattoo and a ledger to put tattoo numbers on people to be able to track them. This system today, you know, and people are going into bio-identifiers with fingerprints and retina scans and all these different things, and people are stealing the other identity. Pretty soon you're going to find out somebody's going to say, just put this thing in me. Hmm. It's going to be much better. It'll help me out. It'll make me smarter. And here we are at this particular time of the road. We got to really, this is what he says. He says it takes wisdom to be able to get through this time. I want to pray with you right now. We're going to have more information available and some other things that can support you in kind of exploring this on the torch at vfntv.com. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, that you told us way in advance that this would be happening, and it just appears to be happening in our generation. I pray for each and every one, Father God, that we would be mindful about what we're doing, the decisions that we're making, Father God. Lead us by your Spirit. Convict us by your Spirit, saying, don't touch that. Don't go that way. Don't do business that way, Father God. Lord, I even pray that you would prevent this transition from taking place and giving this internet away from governmental control of we the people, Lord. We just ask for mercy over that it would just stop it, Lord God. And Lord, we just ask you even now, Lord, that you would end abortion in America, the innocent bloodshed, and send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfntv.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at vfntv.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.